The word of the Lord, as it is written further in Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and rose up vexed and answered and said to his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire bound?" They answered and said to the king, "It is certain, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the gate of the burning fiery furnace, and answering and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, dukes, and governors, and the king's chancellors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire was not able to have dominion, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and given their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore from me a decree is set that all people, nation, and tongue who say any fault against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Their houses shall be made like a dunghill, and all because there is no other God who is able to rescue as this one." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the whole province of Babylon. Reading finally from the work of Arcana Celestia, number 3827. When you are in a state of love or of heavenly affection, you are in an angelic state. That is to say, as if not in time, provided there is no impatience in that affection. For impatience is a bodily affection, and insofar as you are in impatience, you are in time. But insofar you are not in impatience, you are not in time. This appears in a kind of image from all the delights and gladness that belong to the affection of love, in that when you are in them, you take no note of time, for you are then in the internal self. By the affection of genuine love, we are withdrawn from bodily and worldly things, for our mind is elevated toward heaven, and thus is withdrawn from the things of time. The reason why time appears to be a thing is that we reflect upon things that do not belong to the affection of love. Thus, which are tedious. Amen. Tedious. We all know that Christmas is about worshiping the Lord. And all the other trappings we know are there to help us celebrate worshiping the Lord. And we know that we should not worship those trappings as false idols. These teachings are clear to us, clear enough that they only need a mild reminder, "Thou shalt not worship graven images," and then we remember. And yet, we get caught up in the tedium of Christmas. We might complain to our neighbor, "Oh, all the work we have to do to get ready for Christmas." Or, "Oh no, Christmas is coming. All that work. All the stuff. How are we going to get it all done? The pageants, the extra classes, all the decoration, the traveling, the inconvenience of having our family visit or us visiting them. All the tediousness of Christmas." That is its own special hell. You can imagine people committed to complaining about the tedium of worship. You can imagine a hell, a special hell, just for those people that like to get together, pretend to worship the Lord, and then complain about it afterwards and before and even during. You can imagine them in the world of spirits, arguing against other newly arrived spirits, trying to convince them, no, worship is tedious. Don't you see all the reasons we can give for its tedium? They are caught up in being impatient. We are told that impatience is what leads to a sense of tedium. We tend to think that things feel tedious to us because they aren't just right. That something feels tedious because the song or hymn is played a little too slow for our liking, or has one too many verses. Or maybe we think that something is tedious because we won't be able to sleep in our bed that night, because we have to give it to a neighbor or relative. Or maybe we think something is tedious because we can't quite fit it into our plans. But what the Lord is telling us is that it is our impatience that is bringing out that sense of tedium. Impatience. Impatience means the demand for things to happen immediately. Wanting things to happen now, in the time that we want them to happen. We want Christmas to happen for us. We want the spirit of Christmas to be joyful now. And all the work we put into it is to try to control and create that spirit of Christmas. If you try to control the spirit of Christmas, Christmas will become tedium. If you try to control having a heavenly, angelic love, all of worship on church on Sunday, and in your life, and in your work of repentance, will become tedious. Impatience is the belief that you can control time, and the belief that time is a thing that can be controlled. We are taught elsewhere in the heavenly doctrine that time is an appearance. It's an appearance in that it looks like something we can measure. But time is merely the way we measure the change from one state to another. We say the day has 24 hours in it because we know that it takes 24 hours for the Earth to revolve around its axis. But an hour isn't a real thing. It's no more real than any measurement, than a pound or an inch or a foot. A foot at the end of your leg is a thing. But a foot as a measurement is something we merely use to measure a real thing. Don't mistake the measurement for the reality. Time is how we measure a reality, the change in state. We are working towards a change in state at this time. We are working to change our state from the regular year to Christmas, a Christmas state. And how do we embrace that change? By letting the Lord do the work. If you'll notice in their story, Nebuchadnezzar is disturbed by three things. First, he is disturbed that he has to burn up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at all. He doesn't really want to. He asks them, don't you know I'm going to burn you up if you don't worship my graven image? He likes these three men. They're some of his best advisors. He doesn't want to burn them up. But he's so mad, he does. The second thing he's disturbed by is that when he looks into the furnace, they're not burned up like he demanded. But the fourth thing, and the most important that disturbs him, that really has him frightened and upset, is that when he looks into the fiery furnace, he sees a fourth man, one walking, one that looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar is afraid because he sees God. That's what disturbs him most. That's what changes him most. He sees God. Many of us can relate to the feeling of being a kid when we've done something wrong and we don't really want to see our parents at that time. We know they know we've done something bad, but we don't really want to talk about it. The Lord has seen everything we've done. We don't really always want to see the Lord, especially when we've just sacrificed his worship to our demands. But what does Nebuchadnezzar do when he sees the Lord? When he is confronted with the truth of what he's done, he repents. Nebuchadnezzar repents. He sees the Lord again. This is not the first time that Nebuchadnezzar has had a run-in with Yahuwah. This is not the first time he has challenged and lost to the God of the Jews. And sadly, it will not be his last. But at this time, he repents. He sees the three as who they are, worshipers of the Most High God. And he makes a proclamation that no one should mock or look down on or make any bad word against their God. And he elevates them to be over the whole province of his mighty capital, Babylon. He sees what he has done wrong, and he repents. He makes those essentials of worship the leaders of his city. And so can we. When we have been confronted with the truth that maybe we sacrificed the important things for what are merely the external things, we can repent. We can let go of our impatience. We can let go of our sense of needing to control. Think of the furnace as your will, your heart. The Lord is the one who changes your heart, not you. Only the Lord can do the work of reformation and regeneration. Our work is merely to accept it, to allow it, to not get in the way, to cooperate. When we are impatient for heaven, when we say that, why aren't we happy? We've been doing all this work of repentance. Why aren't we good? Why aren't we there now? We're taking away from the Lord the work which is properly his. We are impatient for heaven. Impatient for the Spirit of God. And in that way, we cannot receive the kingdom. If we are impatient for Christmas and try to control the spirit of Christmas, we will never have it. We'll wake up Christmas morning in just as bad of a mood as we went to bed. And if we are impatient for heaven and demand that it come on our terms by our work, it will never happen. We must acknowledge that the Lord is the one who saves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he is in charge of the fiery furnace, that he has our hearts in his hands, and that only through his work may we receive his blessings. We should not be like Nebuchadnezzar, impatient, wanting those essentials of worship to serve our graven image. We need to let go. We need to have the Lord do the work. We may repent, but it is the Lord that gives us a new life. We may prepare for Christmas, but it is the Lord that brings Christmas to us. Amen.